Welcome back to A Hatter's Walker on episode 26. Jamie says, Sweet and Co are asleep at the wheel. No one's fault other than theirs, this mess. We've got a big week ahead of us. Please, please spend some money on players rather than vanity projects. We're going to get this panel's view on this stadium versus club malarkey. The Power Cut Stadium is sending us down, says one tweet. What do we learn from the Millwall game? The transfer window, what desperately needs to happen before Friday? And we're continuing our trawl through Luton Town's worst ever 11. And this week we're discussing who the worst ever defenders we've ever seen to grace the hallowed turf. We're delighted to have Mark and Sam back with us. You'll recognise Lewis, of course, from his own Luton Town podcast. So delighted for him dropping in this week to give his views on what on earth's going on at this famous club. And we're delighted also to have another royalty member of Twitter and Kevin Fredermeer. How are you, Kevin?
Great to see you, Mark. Great to see you guys.
Sorry we're not discussing more positive things on this channel. Let's start with then this, some fans call it nonsense, Mark, this stop investing in the stadium, we care less about it, and actually save our season. Are you having any of it?
No, none at all. I mean, the stadium's been a project for probably as long as I've been supporting Luton, and that's how long we've been trying to find a stadium. And the stadium will protect, the stadium is our club's future. We need the new stadium to move forward, and that will secure our future. And it's not like we've suddenly decided to fork out for a new stadium and not sign any players. The stadium is our future, and whatever happens on the pitch, it does so much for the community, and it's just going to be an incredible stadium. But don't mix our poor season with us announcing and getting the go-ahead to go and get the stadium built.
Thanks, Mark. Lewis, you must be getting a bit tired of commenting on this yourself. But people looking and comparing Burnley where Leeds are and saying, well, look at them, they're in this, we should be in a similar position to them. We're not because money's being scribbled away. Do you see any sign of that point of view at all?
I think just with Luton, with the Premier League money, of course, that there's a lot of expectation that comes with having a lot of money, and rightly so, in my opinion. But I think Luton, how we operate in terms of our recruitment, we're not going to be competing with the same players which Burnley and Leeds are. I just think it's that simple. We have to compete in a different pool of players. I think the issue is we've not got deals over the line, and we went into this season without signing more players. We should have got more players in. Like, we started the game against Burnley, the first game of the season, with what, a back line of an average age of 19 years old or something like that. So straight away, we went into the season really unprepared. So I think that's just not ironing out the core, really, of bringing the right players through the door. And now we're playing catch-up now because we didn't do it in the summer, and we're doing it in the really hard month of January where players are just over-inflated on their price tag. And you've seen it today with Richard Koné from Wycombe Wanderers. £6 million fee is probably not worth that, but we've got to pay it because we're in January.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers for that, Lewis. Kevin, simple question for you. Welcome to Where Hatters Walk. Is this squad too good to go down?
I guess everybody thought so. I mean, the same squad or a large core of the squad was the same squad that got us up. Yes, we've lost some great players from the Premier League, but I believe it's still a strong core of players and it's strong culture. And I think that's the most important thing. We had a squad that kept fighting. They believed in each other. They believed first in Nathan Jones, then they believed in Rob Edwards. They liked the underdog tag. I think the expectations changed this year. People were expecting them to do well. So I think the social contract changes between the club, the players and the supporters. The players are good enough. Whether their heads have been turned in the pre-season, whether there's just some emotions that are not correct, the players are good enough, but I do think it needs to be refreshed. We do need one or two players. And I don't know if Koné is the answer. Yes, he's been scoring, but has he been tested at a high level yet? That's another thing that we don't even know yet.
Cheers, Kevin. When the results were poor before, Sam, obviously Rob Edwards was getting the blame. Now the results are poor, it seems the board is getting the blame. When are we going to start looking at the players?
I think we should have started looking at the players all season, because they're most of them are on such high wages, and compared to the rest of the league and the rest of the teams in the league, they are not performing under their wages. So I think the players are a problem, but it is down to the board. One thing it seems like we're going to spend quite a lot of money in January, which makes sense because we're facing League One. But the question is, why did we not spend that in the summer? So I think we might spend like 10 to 15 million in January, but in the summer we didn't spend that at all, which is back to what Lewis was saying, that we've just been woefully unprepared for this season.
It kept coming back. I mean, Warren says, I can't help but feel that once we reached the Premier League, our board's focus was mainly on the stadium. They got their money to build it and sod everything else. I mean, I've seen more and more, Mark, of these kind of comments. I'm glad to say that none of you are having it, because it would be crazy, like you said. It's the future, isn't it, of the club? As an Everton fan, I know exactly kind of how you feel on that. Let's talk briefly about Millwall, though, shall we, Mark? Because that was a tough watch, even for a neutral. So it must have been a tougher watch as a Luton fan. What did you put that down to, that loss?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at Millwall, had won 1 in 13 games, and they come to us, and our keeper, who Thomas Kaminski, gets man of the match. I think that really says a lot. We just didn't have that creativity. Millwall are always like big, strong centre halves, physical, and I think Millwall had a comfortable afternoon. I didn't. Just there's almost a resigned acceptance of what was going to happen when they scored, and I think the atmosphere was like really quiet as well, and it wasn't until like Kaminski saved the penalty where there started to be a bit of noise and a bit of excitement, but it was short lived because we just didn't create anything. Their keeper just hardly had anything to. He didn't make any like clear-cut saves, but it was just disappointing. I mean, I think the biggest concern for me is that last 12 games, we've won 2 and drawn 2, and we've not played any of the top 6, who we've got all to come, and we've only scored 11 goals in those games. So whereas before we were conceding, but we thought we would score, now we're just... The goals are dried up, we're not creating, we're not scoring. So, yeah, it's a big concern.
Cheers, Mark. Lewis, I know you'll have commented on this on your own channel, but Matt Bloomfield, just give us your take on, first of all, the appointment. And do you feel a bit sorry for him?
Yeah, unfortunately, we've made the manager change far too late, in my opinion. We should have done the change in November when we lost 5-1 against Middlesbrough, because the way Rob came out after in his interview, it sounded like a man that was just defeated then. And you just knew if we carried on, the mentality would have been all over the place. And that's just been proven to be correct, because it's carried on with another manager. You know, we haven't had a new manager bounce. There has been improvements. Unfortunately, I wanted a more proven championship manager, if I'm being honest. Matt's great for if you've got a long-term plan and you're doing it in the summer, when you can recruit loads of players in. But to do that in a January transfer window, it's really, really difficult. So I do feel sorry for him. He's got a big ask. I'm not going to judge him on this season. I'm going to wait until the summer, because it's not fair. Like, this isn't his group of players. The mentality's been absolutely ruined. We've got a losing mentality, in my opinion. And I just hope he can get a couple of players in this last week of the January window, because at the moment, I think we're down. Until these players have got to prove to me that they actually want to stay up, because I think the mentality on Saturday was just not there.
Yeah, I mean, there was lots of tweets. Cheers, Lewis. I just pulled those one from Callum. That said, Kevin said, every single player pathetic again. And it feels to me, Kevin, like the fan base is finally turning a bit against the players. I don't know if that's resonating with you when you watch them and certainly in the stadium. But are we in danger of Kenilworth Road becoming toxic?
I think that ship has sailed. I think the fans have turned on each other, number one. I think they've turned on the players quite a while ago. The reception that they get after every home and away game has been terrible this weekend as well. I mean, they left to a mount of booze, and I get it. The fans are upset. The fans love the club, as we all do. And they're expecting something from a great team, a team that has gone to the highs of highs. We weren't expecting that this year. But once again, we're at a crossroads now, and the only people who can get us out of this is the players. And the players will still need the fans to rock up. They still need the fans to get behind them. They need guys even like Lewis, who's a big mouthpiece for the state, for the club, to be positive. I know he's been negative on many occasions, and I understand why. He wears his heart on his sleeve. But the fans follow people like Lewis, and as soon as he gets down, they get down. But we need to be positive, we need to get behind the gaffer, and we need to get behind this team as much as possible, even though it's extremely tough at this point.
Lewis, do you want to respond to that?
To be fair, I actually try to sometimes, and I say that we're going to win a game, and then all of a sudden my comment section goes, you're stupid, Lewis, you don't know what you're saying, we're not going to win. So I can't win, I try my best.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to Mark and Sam on here for 26 weeks, and they've been saying exactly the same message. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. We're not going down. It's a big win, though, Sam, isn't it? Let's cut to the chase. Let's have a look at the transfer business so far. This is taken from Friday, so I know there might have been some changes to it. What do you expect, Sam, by the time Friday comes around for this to look like?
Well, it's out of date, obviously, as you said, because yes, we've added Isaiah Jones. I think by Friday, I mean, you never know of this club, but it does sound like we're really going in hard for Richard Kone, so I imagine he'll probably be there. And then, one thing that really winds me up about this club is the fact we didn't bring anyone. Like, we got one player in on it just because we couldn't get him permanently, it was just Kraus. The lack of loans, when every other group in the Championship does it, they bring loan players in. A lot of it, we went up, we got the Canberra Drammer in. They were two of our best players and they got us promoted. So I'd hope, A, that we sign Kone because we've had three bids apparently now. And then hopefully someone in on loan from the Premier League who could have short-term, immediate impact, probably in defence, I'd say, and attacking midfield. Just an injection of quality, and then Kone for the striker position because he's Bloomfield's man, was Wickham's best player, and you'd hope that the club would back Bloomfield by bringing in his old best player.
Okay. Mark, what else do you want to see happen? Would you agree with Sam?
I just feel like we need to go and get the season we nearly went down in the Championship, we went and got Cameron Carter-Vickers from Tottenham, and basically he was a commanded centre-half, also he was a leader, and we sort of need leaders in that team. And I agree with Sam that we just need to, we're at the season now where Premier League sides are out of the cups, there's lots of players that aren't getting game time, and I feel that we need to sort of use the loan market from the Premier League, but we also want an injection of pace. So, and to a degree, like, If we do spend $6 million on Kone, it's almost like we can't win because they're saying, oh, it's overpriced for the player, but some are saying, well, we're not signing anyone, so it's like they're in a no-win situation. But it has been left too late. But I'd want some pace. I definitely want a left-sided defender and a leader at the back, if that's not too much to ask for.
Finally, with you, Lewis, would you expect anything? I mean, how many of them that Sam and Mark have named do you expect to happen? What are we going to be busy? Sky Sports will be busy at Kenilworth Road on Friday.
I hope so. We as echoed, we do need something with, well, we need a player with a bit of pace. That's for sure. I would argue probably you probably actually need two, a striker and then also a wide attacker, either left or right. We lack so much creativity. I had a look at the stats, and the last player that actually came off the bench and scored a goal or contributed was against Middlesbrough in Jordan Clark in early November. So it just shows you that no one, even in the starting 11, well, in the whole squad, is actually helping us at the moment. But yeah, just get as many players through the door, because I think some of these players at the moment, I think they're guaranteed to start next week because they've got no competition. And maybe with some competition, it might spark a reaction and maybe they go, right, oh, I've now got to start performing because I'm not guaranteed to play next week. But of course, that is difficult in a January transfer window.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, all of you. Amongst this misery of January, we have been having a bit of fun on this channel as well by putting together our worst ever Luton side, because January's rubbish, isn't it? So if you haven't checked out our previous two, go and have a look at that. Sam and Mark, between them, in the last couple of weeks, have put our goalkeeper, put Stuart Moore in goal, didn't you, as the worst ever goalkeeper. I forget who we did last week on strikers, you'll recall that. But we're now on to defenders. So, sorry to jump this on Lewis and Kevin, they had no idea we were going to ask them for this, but we are seeing if you can come up with the worst ever defender that you've seen play for Luton Town. We'll give them some thinking time while we go to Mark and Sam first. Fill in left backs and right backs if you can. Mark?
Well, I was starting with centre halves.
That's fine.
And I'm probably showing my age, and maybe others don't know who I mean, but Mickey Droy came from Chelsea, and I think he had the movement of a fridge. I think he was at the end of his career, and that didn't work. But out of every silver lining, we then went and got Steve Foster. But yeah, Mickey Droy was just no mobility, slow, everything you wouldn't want in a central defender. So I'd put him in as a central defender.
So
this might be coming across really harsh, but ever since he joined for the money, I think it was 2 million, I think Hashioka hasn't proven much at all. I think I would be tempted to put him in the right back, because I don't see what his strengths are. He's beaten so much, the players run past him so much when he's defending, and he can't cross. I mean, he gets into okay positions, but I think he's quite a limited player.
Okay. Some, I can see people in the comments now going mad at that one, Sam. Kevin, forgive us if you haven't got one.
No.
Just drop this on you now.
No, it's fine. Look, I will think of two central defenders. I will think of the current one in the squad, and not because he's a bad player, just I don't think we've got the value, and that's obviously Matt Anderson. He came here with a lot of hype in July 2003. He was absolutely brilliant in League One, probably the player of the year. Excellent, threw his body at everything. He was really a team man. I think he's played 11 games since July 2003. He came on once this year with 10 minutes to go. I believe it was against Swansea. Looked like he hasn't kicked the ball in a year or two. Was absolutely dreadful. And I don't think we've really got the best out of him. Going back a little bit to 2015, 2016, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, is Magnus Okulungi, who John Stoll said was a beast. Everyone bought into this beast idea. He was a big, strong man. Also played about 11 games in the 2 years. Eventually, his contract was terminated on consent as well, and it left very disappointing. So I would say those two, not because they are dreadful players, because I don't want to be negative. I just think we didn't get what we expected out of them.
Okay. Very, very articulately done. Lewis, we might have stolen everything you were going to say, but do you have any others?
Yes, centre-halves is quite difficult, because we've actually had quite a lot of good centre-halves. We've had, you know, Lockyer, Osho, Tedden Mengi. I think Reece Burt, when he's actually fit, is good. Sonny Bradley, Matty Pearson, Steve McNulty, Alan Shearer.
Naismith was good.
Yeah, Naismith. So we've had quite a lot throughout our rise up the football leagues. I can think of fullbacks. We've obviously said Magnus. Yeah. That's a good shout, actually, because I definitely couldn't think of him. And Mans Anderson as well, not being available. But the left back, I would go with Ryan Giles. For the money we spent for him, I've never known a defender, well, he's meant to be a defender, that can't defend. And then Stephen O'Donnell at right back, in my opinion, is the worst right back I've ever seen.
Yeah, Ryan Giles, of course, in the news this week with Hull's fans not being happy about his current sting at Middlesbrough, right? Well, it's a bad news week for him. Thanks, Lewis. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Sam. And that wraps up another episode. Join us next week when, of course, we're going to fill in that midfield gap. We're also appointing our January player of the month. And, of course, we'll look back on Sheffield Wednesday as you head to Hillsborough this weekend to play a high-flying Owls side who themselves are talking about playoffs on their podcast, would you believe? Madness. Bristol City versus Preston could be the playoff final this year. We're going to manifest it. These teams need to get out. I'm sure Luton will be absolutely fine, though. Fingers crossed. Join us next week to review all of that. Thanks for watching. Do follow Lewis. I'm not sure all of you don't already, then you're mad. Go and check him out. Follow Kevin on Twitter. We'll put his Twitter handle in the comments below. And of course, you already know Mark and Sam as well. Thank you very much for watching. See you next week.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.